Stephen Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about focusing on being great at one part of your business. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Jill, what are you great at? What's your thing?
We talked getting deals done.
Getting deals done.
It's in my soul. I can't help it. I am a deal junkie. That's it.
You know, the truth is I'm a deal junkie too, but between the two of us, you're better at it than I am. I love data. You know, when I sit down, when it's a data day for me, when I sit down and do the prepare a mailer, that's a good day. Like I really truly get excited about sitting down, researching and pulling data, scrubbing it all out and pricing it and getting it out there. So I don't know if it's like it's a chicken and the egg thing. Like, I don't know if I was good at that before I learned how to do it, or the other way around. Like I had so much interest in it that I learned it the right way.
I think it's just nature for you.
Is it nature for you?
Yes. And we'll talk about that.
All right. This is a great point. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Nick wrote, I'm about to call the county for a couple of properties I have under contract to purchase. What thing should I be asking the county when I call? Actually, I saw this question too. So here's cute. One of our members, Lori, answered. I'm sure there's several in there and we'll answer too. But Lori wrote, here's what I ask when I call along with the department that typically handles it. I verify the current owner's name with a clerk or recorder. I ask them how to get a copy of the vesting deed if you haven't been able to find it online. These are all very different than what I thought it was going to be. This is just Lori's response.
Yeah, I want to hear yours
okay,
too.
Okay, good. Because this is, let's just say, the viewpoints in this thing are not necessarily those of the hosts. So I will help with this in a minute here. Anyway, this is what Lori does. And asks if the land is off the grid, asks if the property has water rights or mineral rights included. They'll probably refer you to the deed. Ask if there are any easements granted through the property. Check on the taxes owed, the assessor, the treasurer. Check on how the land can be used, zoning, planning, or engineering department. Also ask them if they have been any permit applications for septic or building. And if so, try to get a copy of them. Is public water sewer available? That's with the water and sanitation departments. Hopefully not the same thing. And most importantly, be nice and express your appreciation for their help. That's very true, obviously. You might need them again. Best, Lori. Do you want to talk first?
No, go ahead. Actually, you're more qualified.
Okay.
Than I am to answer.
So a lot of this stuff's kind of overkill. I don't need to know all that. And maybe because I've been doing it so long, I know some of the areas and I already know what the answers are. I can look up, what R2 is or land use 400 in some areas. I know, and I keep a little cheat sheet. Here's one thing I would say too, as you're doing this stuff, create yourself a little cheat sheet going along so you always know, oh yeah, that's what that is, that's what this is. Even when we do, like I used to do a lot of recording ourselves, create our own deeds and send them in, I had a cheat sheet so I didn't have to look up the address every time and look at how much the check it should be made out to and who the check should be made out to for recording and things like that. So I'm usually not needing the county for most of this. This is my thing. It's so much more efficient for me to go into NeighborScoop. I have the zoning. I have the owner's name. I have the legal description. I can see all kinds of things in there already that I don't need to call the county. Next, vesting deed. Well, I go two places. One is the seller. They usually have it. Can you send me a copy? Email me, take a picture of it, scan it in, whatever it is, a copy of the deed. Check. I don't need to go to the county for that. So that's an extra step and a cost you don't need to do. And if they don't have it, I go to my sources, which is usually Title Pro or one of my other data things, and it's like $2, and I have a copy, and it's right there. Because if you've had to go to a county for something like this, usually you have to write them a letter, send it in, write them a check. They get it, they process it, and it could be 2 weeks by the time you get it back. I don't have time for that. I want it sold in 2 weeks. I'm not going to wait for this deed to come back to me. So, and the only reason I need the vesting deed, honestly, is usually I'm confirming something, just making sure I get the legal description exactly right. That's really why I want to look at it. The extra things here, taxes owed, I do check on that. A lot of counties, you can look it up online. If not, absolutely agree with Lori here. Call the treasurer, find out where they are in the taxes. You never want to not know. You don't want to be surprised by that. How the land can be used, often I know, but if you know, and often it's like for something like maybe info lots or something like that. I'm looking for, you know, I might be looking to see, you know, if there's setbacks, things like that, just so I know what, you know, for my buyers.
95% of the time that I've ever called the county is for this reason. Can the property be built on mm-hmm. in its current zoning situation and in its current terrain? Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of the time they will say, they'll answer you very, very quickly and directly. But I'll tell you, if there's properties all over the place that are in the lots are the same size, that's your answer.
Mm-hmm. And you can see.
You can see if there's utilities at the property next to this property, the one that in question, then it's all, the utilities are at the lot. Mm-hmm. Like there's a 99% chance you can do on your lot what the person next door or on either side of you did.
Right.
Or the question is lately, can I put a mobile home on here? Because mobile home zoning is always, it's different everywhere. You know, and if you call planning and zoning in any area in Arkansas and say, can I put a mobile on the property? They're gonna laugh at you. They're gonna mm-hmm. say some version of, you can do anything you want. Why are you calling me?
Right. The very minimum that you, I mean, when you buy these properties, but the really things I really want you to know is ownership. Make sure you're buying it from the guy that owns it. Number one. Two, double check the back taxes and just make sure that. Check for HOA, POA. That's not on here. You want to make sure, you know, look around, do some checking. And a lot of this stuff, ask the seller. That's why I have my checklist, by the way, that you should all be printing out and using. Ask the sellers or homeowner association or property owner association. And if you have any indication that there is, ask the county and dig a little bit. What I don't want you to do is spend 3 hours.
Or worry about this.
On every property. And because what will happen is 3 hours will turn into 30 when you realize, okay, there's no power out there. How's my buyer going to get power? And the next thing you know, you're becoming a power expert and you find yourself looking at solar things in Costco.
So, or you're talking yourself out of a deal.
Exactly.
Oh man, it doesn't have any power.
I don't want you to do that. So there's a line of too much and enough. And if you, and you know, I'd rather you not do a lot. Get the basics down. Put your property once enough that you felt good enough to buy it. You buy it, you put it for sale, and someone asks you a question. And if it's a good question, you might help them. A lot of the questions, you know, I mean, that's, you have it in the posting. You kind of already know. But if you have 10 of the same question too, especially, like, you know what, I should probably find this out about this property and put it in the posting. That's it.
Yep.
Thank you.
I mean, we certainly don't call a county. What percentage of the deals that we do we call a county on for information?
Less than 10.
Yeah. I think that's a great number. Mm-hmm. And it's only because I find myself calling the county because it's like a deal where I'm going to make 10 times, you know, we had a deal last year where it was zoned very specifically for hotel motel. Mm-hmm. So that can be.
We didn't even, we had people, in, we had a broker, they took care of it.
We didn't
stuff.
Call, but that can be a great thing or not a great thing. Use is why I call the county. I don't call the vesting deeds or any of that stuff.
Right.
You don't need to, by the way, you don't need to do any of this if you're using a title agent.
You know, it's funny. I'm calling the county adverse because it's hard sometimes, you know, getting the right people, especially right now on the phone. I look them all up, even land use.
That's what I think. All this stuff can be found online.
I go and look up and I find the 20-page document and I figure out for myself what the land use is and what's possible because that's what they're going to do with me on the phone anyway. Let's call a spade, unless the guy's been there for 20 years and it's memorized. A lot of them, they have to go look it up themselves. And that's where I'm at. I'm like, and I'll tell you right now, there's only one property in my whole inventory that we're working with the county on right now because there's something weird on the way it was subdivided. This property has property lines overlapping, even in neighbor scoop. So there's some question about whoever did the overlay for the map for this one little area. So we're going to the county to having to get a plat map. But that's one out of 500 right now.
And here's the final point about talking to the county. You know, the county assessor is inadvertently put in a customer service role when you call him or her. And the same thing with planning and zoning. Not so much the recorder because they're used to it. They don't want to answer the phone. They're not positive when you talk to them. They don't, you know, especially if you don't speak their language. Like Jill speaks their language, so she can get on and off the phone with them very quickly. Right. They're doing other stuff. They're assessing property like they were hired to do, or they're planning and zoning is they're not there to just kind of stare at the phone and wait for it to ring and answer your questions. Mm-hmm. So they're not happy to talk to you. The more work you can do yourself, the better off everybody's going to be.
Exactly.
Today's topic, focus on being great at one part of your business. This is the meat of the show.
Yeah, I was going to add one more thing too. Like, be careful about putting too much information because too much information can lead to someone asking you a lot of questions like you're the pro. If you put in, you know, I found a permit pulled for this, or I found out this is possible, this is possible, this is possible. Now they're going to look to you and take up a lot of your time on that when I would rather them go off and think of it and dream it up all on their own.
Yeah, here's the thing about posting property and the sentiment, which is exactly right, that you want to create for your potential buyer. It's this guy really doesn't know, meaning the seller, meaning me. I don't think these guys know what they have. Mm-hmm. They don't know really. They just say the zoning's whatever, you know. I live in this area.
Yeah.
I have a couple of other properties in this area. I paid a lot more for my properties that I own than these guys are asking for this property. I'm going to try to pull one over their eyes.
I'm going to buy it
real fast because mm-hmm. they don't know it's worth a lot more. So when you're sitting there describing in your posting like how incredibly intelligent you are about this property and how much time you spent and this is what you can do and there's water rights and all these other details, you're losing some buyers that way. You're really kind of just self-servingly showing off, in my opinion, rather mm-hmm. than saying, hey, I'm in this business. We bought this property. I'm not really sure what's possible. It's zoned for this, or at least that's what the county says, but
dream it up.
Knock yourself out because this is the price and we just kind of want to get rid of it.
That's how I feel. I want the seller to be like, the sky's the limit. Dream it up.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so today, you already started the show. Focus on being great at one part of your business. Or I look at it as, what are you good at?
Yeah.
It should be.
That's the way to do it.
Because like if I walked in and said, I mean, which you can, don't get me wrong, but my take on this is, or how I do things is, what am I good at? What comes naturally to me? And that's what I should focus on. If I could be better at data, I don't have to. I have him, which is great.
Well, let's start with the root of this is, let's start with the profile of the people in the advanced group and why they're doing so well in this program.
What profile? I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
I can think of all kinds of funny things.
Why?
It's a funny group. You know what? The profile of the advanced group is this, what we just said on this thing. They don't get into details.
Yeah.
They are just about, let's get it done, buy it, sell it, wish you the best, next.
The profile of the typical advanced member is this.
Mm-hmm.
They themselves, or they have a partner like me, who is incredibly dynamic personality on the phone. They love to be on the phone. It's natural for them. And they've done it in the most recent job they've had, or the most recent company they've owned. And they just have this dynamic sales type personality where you just want to talk to them. So for me, I can do that, you know, and hopefully some of it comes off on this show. I don't like it. That's not my favorite. That's not my comfortable, fun spot. So there's that. The other thing is that they have somebody on their team, or they themselves do not struggle with the concept of data. In fact, they embrace it. So I am, like I said earlier, I think it was on this show or yesterday, when it's mailer day for me and data day, I'm just, I jump out of bed. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to be involved in that. So that's my one thing. Jill's one thing, I think we just described it. And so you have to, I think it's very, you can't get away with it in the beginning of your career as a one-man show. You have to do all this stuff. And hopefully through that, you're going to just, you'll figure out, wow, I love doing this and I'm going to outsource this, or however it works for you.
You know, one thing, if you have either the data talent that he has or the, you know, getting deals done drive that I have, I think another valuable talent in our business is just being organized and able to put systems in place. If you could half do data, half talk on the phone, but you're really good at doing a lot of things at one time, that is a huge, I see, valuable talent in our world. Because I see a lot of people focusing on one thing, they stop and they start. They do this job for a day, they do that job for a day, they do this job for a day, and this job for a day. And you can't get ahead. It's really hard.
I've constantly been told throughout my whole professional life, regardless of where I worked or whoever I worked with or for, that I can get, and I'm not boasting here, I'm reporting this, that I can get four times the amount of work that a normal person can get done. And it hasn't been just in one, like when I was an accountant, people were saying that. In fact, when I was in consulting for KPMG, the partner that I was working under came to me and said, "You need to slow down. You know, there's
you're making
no
the rest of us
way.
Look bad.
Yeah, you're making everybody else look bad. And number two, we can't bill for your time. If you're doing this in 5 minutes, and you know, we could bill 5 hours for it, which right. is one of the reasons I left that industry, because I don't think that's cool. So, organization. I would heavily, heavily encourage you. I don't care if you're a member or not a member, or never get involved in real estate. There's all kinds of stuff. Microsoft does a bunch of free learning on how to use their tools, how to use Outlook, time management, how you should be using email versus Teams, and all this other stuff. So, Jill, you nailed it. That's not the one great thing
right.
that you should be. Everyone needs to be crazy sure. organized.
That's true. But if that's your forte, you will do well also.
So break it down real, you know, like put it in eighth grade, seventh grade language. I'm great at finding real estate deals that are undervalued. If that is what you're great at, however it manifests itself, mm-hmm. believe me, you will be flying in a private jet at some point in your career. Think about that for a second. All you need to do is be great at finding undervalued real estate and a little bit organized.
I love it.
On Jill's side, all you need to be great at is closing deals correctly and quickly, and everybody's got a smile on the face when
that's
they're done.
That's it. Everybody's hugging and happy.
So when you can put those two forces together, you can make a lot of money and have a lot of fun.
Thank you.
So whatever that great thing is, and don't ask anybody else, because they won't tell you, they're all wrong. Only you know that.
Like in your heart.
Yeah.
That's so
in
sweet.
In your dream catcher.
In your dream catcher. Happy you could join us today. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we are here on the Land Academy Show. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we are next door on the House Academy Show.
The episode on the House Academy Show tomorrow is called, How Many Deals Can You Do at Once? You are not alone in your real estate ambition. 30.
I'm sharing my number.
And that's higher than 30.
The Land Academy Show remains commercial free for you, our loyal listener. So wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.